Are we recording?
Are we recording now, Christian?
Yes, thank you for that.
It's bad enough. Are we recording now?
It's bad enough having a hairy chin.
You have a hairy chin. I'm clean shaven and looking slick.
You are not clean shaven at all.
No, I'm not.
You're right.
I'm looking dapper.
You are looking dapper. The hair's very dapper. I will concur on that point.
My name is Christian Payne, and I'm sat with Uchujin, whose real name is Adrian Story. And I don't know why I'm talking down to my chest. Maybe it's because I have a lav mic, he has a lav mic, and we're sat in a coffee shop. Outside a coffee shop, actually, and it's windy, so this is probably horrible.
We're outside because I want to vape.
Yes,
sorry about that.
He's a vapor. He's got a podcast called Popcorn Lung, The Eventual Demise of Me and My Health. He hasn't really, but you should. People can hear the tone of your voice slowly get more crackly. He's laughing through gritted teeth.
I am not. I'm smiling at the distant memory of smoking real fags and coughing my guts up every morning, which I no longer do, and I can breathe.
Yeah,
I swim a kilometre a week. You can't do that if you've got popcorn lung.
In your lung juice.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you've got... That's a great title for a podcast. You can't do that if you've got popcorn lung.
Or a T-shirt on a runner. We're just testing two Rode lav mics, the Smart Lav Pluses, into the Rode SC6.
Can I retell the story about Rode? Are you going to put this out? They're lovely. Rode are fantastic.
Yeah.
I had a nightmare. One of their mics broke. I wrote them an email and they replaced it within, I think it was probably within about 48 hours, they'd sent me a new one.
From Australia?
Well, no, they've got a UK distributor as well.
Wow.
So they just called the UK distributor and I needed it for a shoot about 72 hours later, so having it within 48 hours was amazing, and they were very, very nice about it. So that's what you call customer service. Well done, Rode. I don't normally plug anyone.
No, but credit where credit's due.
Yeah, absolutely, because the other situation is what you normally get, which is a, no, mate, see that little plastic thing? That's going to cost you £45.
I do a lot of workshops based around audio and video, and I've been taking the iXLR with the Rode Reporter just because of people's reactions when I take out this little pencil case.
Oh, well. Long pencil case, to be honest. Oh, covering my mic with my hand.
I do have a little dead vole somewhere I could put over the mic, but it's somewhere else.
Are the ones for labs called dead voles, really?
No, I call them dead voles because they're smaller than dead cats.
Right,
but
should
do.
You want to TM that now, because otherwise I'm having that.
I'm going to quickly buy deadvol.com and sell small fluffy things for microphones. So the iXLR,
you take on site already, to be honest.
Probably. Oh no. You take it out of the case, you plug it into your iOS device, and I open up VRP7 normally just to show the recording potential, or obviously the video app, the standard video app. And I get them people to talk into the mic and then just move it away from their face and then talk. And they're straight away doing interviews and they feel the power of this lightsaber type device.
Well, it is quite good for that sort of a reporter style mic.
For live streaming, which is a real thing at the moment. You mostly do shooting to edit later, don't you? You don't do much live stuff.
I do almost no live stuff. I do almost all shooting to edit later.
With the world...
Oh, I'm sat right in the wind. I think you're a bit sheltered.
With the world now, shifting towards some mobile devices, thanks to some git going around training people how to do video on your mobile device, where are the places kind of protected for people like you? What kind of jobs?
I think, to be honest with you, it's just like... The mobile phone quality is so good now. Granted, it is good, but that... Still, large sensor cameras look nicer. You've got bigger latitude in your shadows and your highlights. Arguably, more control over colours as well.
Contrast.
Yeah, and also like putting together something super slick. There are things you can do in editing on a proper computer there's no reason you can't shoot it on your phone and then edit it on a proper computer with Premiere or Final Cut X or
and,
whatever.
And many movies are doing this now using iPhone 7s or 7 Pluses because of the depth of field effect in some instances.
Well, I've heard a load of stories about people buying like older phones. So like I've just switched, I've just decamped from Apple as my phone provider to Samsung. So I've got an S8, but the S7, which is now relatively cheap, considering, still does amazing video. Buying them and using them as crash cams, because you can get them into places and you can like wirelessly stream the video so you can watch framing, all of that stuff.
And you're really happy with your switch to Android, aren't you?
Yeah, really happy, yeah.
But I then mean, you were going from an older phone, so the leap was significant as well.
Yeah, yeah, it was a 5S that I had, but even so, my wife's got a 6 or 6S.
So you were aware of what the possibilities were.
And there are some things that are slightly odd about Android that I do find odd that I didn't find on, mostly the location stuff and having the fact that you're signed into Google all the time.
Yeah.
You kind of have to trust Google. When you've got an Apple phone, you have to trust Apple, which is arguably easier to do than trusting Google.
I would say
Google.
So. I mean, that said, you know, beacons are beacons a lot of the time, and I think that just having a Google app potentially on your Apple phone may open you up to some. It's like when I've used Google Maps to go to a particular location, you might get this all the time. You're looking at a shelf with your biological eyes. And then you leave the place having not tweeted, not checked in, not done anything. You sit in front of a computer and it's going, why didn't you buy those silky pants? And you're like, how did it know?
They didn't Google have the crotchless in my size. That's the simple answer.
Google knows where you are and what you're doing.
I know. Well, I do turn up. I've got all of that switched off in my phone at the moment, which means like, okay, Google won't work. Even if I like say, what's the weather in Oxford? It's like, you're going to have to give us access to your location, your birthright, before we'll tell you what the weather in Oxford is.
But it knows where Oxford is.
I know, that's what I mean. Why does it need access to my location
to tell
me?
Maybe it needs to know how tall you are, because you're quite tall for altitude reasons.
It could be that. It could be a thing about, I'm thinking more though, it's, but so those, that, but even with all that switched off, I like go to somewhere and the phone buzzes in my pocket, I take it out, it's like, ooh, you're at so-and-so castle. That's a very popular photo spot. Why don't you take a photo?
I feel a bit like you've left the clan, because a minute ago I thought, oh, it's kind of interesting seeing the phone with the iPhone 7 adapter and then the Rode SC6 with the two Rode microphones coming out of it, and I thought this would make a great shot from above. Can you just take a shot and then airdrop it you can't. How do you easily share images from Android to iPhone? I guess you'd have to be a shared Dropbox and such like.
Yeah, I'm sure there must be. I'm sure there must be a third-party app that will do it just as well as airdropping one. And I never had AirDrop switched on my phone on my iOS device anyway because I didn't use iCloud.
I really like it. I like sitting on a train and then seeing like John's phone.
Oh yeah.
And you know where John is because there's no one else in the carriage. And then drawing a little picture, going, "Hello, John." And then, because you get the preview, then just sending it on AirDrop, and they're like, looking around, and your phone's already in your pocket at that point, and you're gazing out the window listfully.
Wasn't me.
No, that could
be. One thing I think that's interesting is that there's like a secure vault thing on the Samsung phone called Samsung Knox, KNOX, which apparently is like military grade encryption, and it's creates an entire separate partition in the phone.
But you still need to use the same interface to access that password. You've got to remember that it doesn't matter what you're loading onto a phone. If your threat level is significantly higher than the average punter on the street, somebody would have placed something between the apps and the interface.
So but you can have two versions of the app. So the app that runs inside Knox, so say you've got Dropbox, you can run one Dropbox on your phone, and then you can run a separate, totally separate instance of Dropbox inside the Knox folder with a different account running.
Yeah.
And that, inside the Knox like partitioned area of the phone, is completely safe. So anyone picks up your phone can't get into it.
Which is nice if you leave your phone lying around, but remotely, the fact that you've touched the screen and that's got to travel to the app leads me to think, how do we get around that? It might be that...
I think I'm just going to switch all the location stuff back on, to be honest, because I don't think it matters. Because they can try and
it took 2 weeks for Google to totally hone your soul.
Well, because if they want to, they could triangulate me from the cell towers, right? Yeah, so yeah, it's like, well, all right, they want to know my location. Oh, I've got Google Maps. I've got Google Maps switched off. They can't find me.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
Oh, yeah,
because I've still got cell phone service.
Yeah.
Although in England, there are plenty of places you can go, just, you know, a stone's throw outside a major urban centre where you wouldn't have cell phone service.
I am enjoying my dumb phone, apart from the fact that I tend to need to carry an actual camera around with me, because I forget the dumb phone doesn't have one.
2008, Christian, an actual camera.
But
are you a Luddite?
Well, if you know anything about cameras, you'll realise that you've got better latitude when it comes to exposure. They perform much better in contrast, and it's a much more natural bokeh.
Right. Bet you forgot low light as well. They're better
obviously,
in low light.
Yeah, with the sensor sizes you mentioned earlier on, the low light is stupendous. I mean, I took a photograph on the iPhone actually when I was camping. Not a photograph, a piece of video footage. And on the phone, it looked fine. And it was 5 a.m. in the morning. A couple of cows coming to check out a tent. And it wasn't until I looked at it on the big screen did I see the kind of particulates and grain. But I kind of liked it in a way.
No, it's still nice. The fact that you can see it at all is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, which is revelatory. Yeah. You know, a couple of phones back, you couldn't do that. So I'm Apple, you're now Android. I do still like you, Adrian. I don't think you've totally gone.
You're not going to completely excommunicate me because of that.
No. I mean, I love my App Store and the apps, and if it wasn't for the fact, if there was fewer than 40,000 different Android devices and people were coding,
I agree.
With decent continuity, I would be doing the same. I have been given Android devices, really high spec ones to look at and review, and I just struggled. I did struggle because it's also a lot of work to migrate even a portion of your life onto a new phone. It takes me days to do it from Apple to Apple because of the encrypted apps, and I've got to share manually move private keys or create new ones.
Yeah, no,
all
right.
Kinds of crazy stuff.
But that's true if you move Apple to Apple, right?
Yeah,
a lot of that stuff is just moving
in general,
from one device to another device, regardless of whether you're in the same ecosystem or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm very happy with it. It seems to work very well. I don't notice anything particularly from Apple that I miss. Like anything, it's like all of those things. There's good, some of it's better, some of it's worse. It's always the same. I mean, that, and the thing is, the level of both devices has got to such a point now where they function very, very well to do anything you want to do with them, and you pick and choose based on very specific little things that you know you want to do with it. So the reason I chose that phone was because of the VR capabilities and the being able to listen to ambisonic sound where I'm wearing a headset, which you can't do on your iPhone, incidentally.
Did you see that VR backpack I shared in my newsletter on
documentary.com / newsletter, I think. Yes, or ourmaninside.com.
Who was that guy? Yeah, did you see the backpack?
I did,
I was just picturing someone being late for a VR experience and wearing it to work and it starts to rain. Can you imagine? Because it didn't look very waterproof.
Surrounded by vents. But this is, I mean, I imagine soon it could be something that's built into your jacket, and then sooner after that, I joked when I said I'll wait until I can stick it in my ear.
Yeah.
Computing power is moving so fast, I don't see why we couldn't have some VR setup. Maybe in our glasses frame to start with.
Have you seen that Kickstarter? There's, you know, like Google Cardboard, like ubiquitized being able to see VR for
through
people.
A smartphone.
Through a smartphone, with the, like, because it was cardboard, so it was, you know, a quid or whatever. If you bought one from China and not the Google one, which was £3, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a new one that's for AR, so it's got, it looks very much like that, but it's got like a mirror, and so you
can see
that,
yeah.
And so, a lot of the stuff that I've been reading recently is about the fact that AR is probably in the long run going to be more adopted by more people you can share the experience.
It's like a head-up display on your life.
Yeah, and so me and you can both put an AR headset on and there'll be a thing
that's
not
really
there.
Tell me the temperature of my coffee as I look down. Yeah. It would tell me that you've got, if I could look at you and we're really good friends, it will say you've got 15 emails that need urgent attention, potentially.
Yeah.
You could walk into a conference and look at everybody. If you're maybe you're the speaker and you've got access to the data because the conference has given you access, you can look at everybody in the audience, and when somebody puts their hand up, you can go, that person's worth 60 grand a week, yeah. I'm going to answer his question first. Well, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of really nefarious and yet amazing.
Remind me not to ask any conference questions at conferences that you're presenting at. I'll be low down the list, I think.
Not that you should obviously prioritise people with more wedge, but, no, but how are they going to do
it? Clearly some of us do.
People will be judging the data that we are on the data we're emitting.
I was thinking more in terms of like being able to have like a Pikachu in the middle of the table and we can both poke it. And you,
it's so cute, Adrian.
While still seeing the whole world around. I don't know why I said Pikachu. I hate Pikachu.
I don't know why you said poke it.
I meant with a sharp stick.
Fair enough, yeah. That.
Now that's a game. Now that's a game. Kick-a-chew.
Oh. Yeah. I'm just going to get my phone out and register that. Yeah.
I am interested to see how AR first... I mean, we've already seen it with some ski goggles.
Right.
And how ski goggles are giving you your location, your speed, your descent rate, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I think they're made by Oakley, actually, and they're smart ski goggles. And they're giving you the data. It's not so much augmenting reality other than giving you the heads-up display. When there are physical objects that you can manipulate and touch between two people because the camera knows exactly spatially where that thing is.
Have you tried HoloLens? Have you tried?
Yeah, I had a go at BBC R&D.
Right.
Good. Still,
I mean,
a long way to
go. It's clunky at the moment because of the size of the thing.
And
but
the hand
again,
gestures take a little bit of getting used
but
to.
I think that's all, that'll get ironed out very quickly, I think. And I mean, I'm really interested in sort of VR, but I do think that there is something about AR but the fact that I can be aware of the world around me at the same time is really a big deal. I mean, I love VR experiences for the utter immersiveness, but...
I looked at that VR backpack and I just did think this isn't, you know, geared up for the immersive people who really wanted a game like you wouldn't believe, because there's no thing to strap onto your private part so that you don't need to physically get up and go to the toilet. You can urinate in game, which exists in some gaming salons in South Korea and places like that.
It's the Samsung Milka, I believe it's called.
Oh man, that's a horrible, horrible visual. Do you ever just want to drop it all and go Neolithic, live in a yurt or a...
I was actually talking to someone about this the other night, and I think that I know that you sort of do this as well, but I think you just have to sort of manage it. So like, I have a very strict, for example, absolutely no electronic devices apart from a Kindle in the bedroom rule. So the phone, if it needs to come in the bedroom for any reason at all, can only go in if it's on airplane mode. I try to like leave my phone, if I'm editing for a couple of hours and then I need to walk away, I'll leave my phone in my edit suite and walk away, and I don't have anything with me. Because I think you need to be strict with yourself about managing it, or it's just constant. Especially if you're a freelancer, it's constant from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep.
Yep.
And it does get, you know, it does get too much. I don't need to know those things when I'm lying in bed, or, you know, first thing in the morning. I don't need to.
But it's not about whether you need to know. It's about addiction. It's about I mean, you're toking right now because of an addiction. Maybe that addiction is more overriding and it enables you to control the stuff. Because some people don't have hits of anything other than those endorphins from the likes and the social media interactivity. So that's the issue here. You know, you're rationalizing why not to have a phone. I totally understand that. I'm on exactly the same boat with you there. I don't want the phone in the bedroom. I actually think I sleep a lot better without it. They're saying that the research is out there that if you have a phone on the table between two people, it makes you stupider. It makes you less intelligent because a portion of your brain is constantly wandering subconsciously in some ways. What that notification might be, what it is going to be. So, yeah, I'm reading a fascinating book called Irresistible at the moment. I can't remember the name of the...
I saw that in the newsletter.
Yeah.
Documentary.com/newsletter.
It's... It's a lot of common sense, but a lot of it is yes, 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 I do this, and I like to be reminded of this. I like to take a step out of my bubble where it's not uncommon for two people to be standing next to each other having a conversation. I went to order the coffee, I came and sat down, and we both immediately just very quickly got up to date on our notifications and then put our phones down. Sometimes the phones don't get put down
in
a lot of conversation I have, and I'm now starting to think, actually, I'd like to look at you in the eyes, and I sound like some old fart.
No, I was always going,
actually, I'm talking to 1,000 people on here right now, I used to say. You know, it's not that it's not communication, it is communication, but it's to a mass audience in some ways. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, why am I not giving you my 100% attention? Yeah, why does it have to be this crowd following around all the time? Exciting times, because I think we're getting to the point of realizing that the culture isn't catching up with the technology as fast as we would like, and I'm hoping there's going to be a bit of a backlash. But we've already seen Silicon Valley guys expecting a collapse in society and buying islands and creating survival camps on them because they are that worried about what true AI is going to do. And on that happy note, where can people find you online?
Well, Twitter, Uchujin Photo, Instagram, Uchujin Films.
No one's going to be able to spell that.
I'm going to spell it in a second. I'm just going to reel off the last one. If you want to find me, the easiest way is to go to uchujin.co.uk, uchujin.co.uk, which means alien in Japanese.
Do you have adrianstory.com? Because that is a really good URL.
Someone's already got it.
Right, we'll find them.
We'll find them, we will send the drones.
And I'm obviously on documentally.com. Well, not obviously, it's obvious to me. and ourmaninside.com, which I only just renewed at the last minute before it got cancelled.
And again, amazingly, that's not a porn site.
It's not. Stop it. Right, thanks. I want to see if this audio works. If it did, we should have more chats like this. What do you think?
I think that's good.
Laters.